Buongiorno, Italy. Welcome to the European debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the debt crisis in Europe enters new territory as Italy gets a warning on its debt. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow down 135 points, about 1% at 12,376. The Nasdaq down 1.6%, and the S&P 500 down a little more than 1% as well. European airline stocks fell today on concerns of a widespread disruption from the erupting volcano in Iceland. The UK just said it expects some flights will be affected in British airspace as soon as tomorrow. Now let's get to the debt news out of Europe. Italy has had its debt outlook cut to negative by the ratings agency Standard & Poor's. S&P cited poor growth prospects and excessive borrowing as the reason for the warning. Let's bring in our regular Monday guest, Julia Coronado. She's chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Italy, where did that come from?
Well, yeah, Italy's finances have not been on a good track for a long time, but we worry less about Italy becoming a basket case the way we've worried about Portugal and Greece and Ireland. And part of the reason for that is while Italy's finances aren't great, they generally don't depend on foreign investors to finance their debt. They largely rely on domestic savers to finance their borrowing. So it makes them a little bit less vulnerable, so we worry less about them from sort of a contagion or domino effect kind of perspective.
And you're comparing Italy to other European countries. What about a comparison with the United States, which has also gotten a warning on its debt from S&P?
Absolutely, and that's a great comparison. The U.S. Has a fiscal situation that certainly rivals Italy's in terms of the fiscal outlook and its relationship to GDP. We also have a terrible and worrisome outlook, and in fact, we are dependent on foreign investors to finance our debt. So in some senses, that makes us more vulnerable. On the other hand, the U.S. enjoys, one, that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world,
right.
So everybody needs to hold treasuries. And also, we have more institutional credibility, although we certainly seem to be straining that as we go along.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure.
Well, Volkswagen will open its latest auto plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee tomorrow. The plant will assemble thousands of new Passats, and it will mean 2,000 or more new jobs for the region. But Volkswagen will also be paying workers less in wages and benefits than U.S. carmakers do. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Workers at the Chattanooga plant will earn around $27 an hour when you add together wages and benefits. That's slightly more than half what a worker earns at the three U.S. carmakers. A big reason, VW will be saving on pension payments to its workers.
I think that probably guaranteed pensions are gone the way of carburetors by now.
Michelle Krebs is an auto analyst with Edmunds.com. She says the days of companies guaranteeing retirement benefits for life are over.
We've seen industry-wide a move towards less of the fixed pension versus a 401k type of arrangement.
401ks usually require workers to contribute more for their retirement, reducing the company's overall labor cost, and that savings will represent a competitive challenge for GM and Chrysler, who have already cut costs to come out of bankruptcy. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Now to the 2012 presidential campaign. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty will officially announce his candidacy today in Iowa. But the fundraising picture this time, just like the economy, will look pretty different compared with the last presidential election back in 2008. For more, let's bring in Larry Sabato, who directs the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, last time around, we were in an economic boom for much of the presidential campaign. How different do you think the money race will be this time around?
Well, it's already obvious that the eventual Republican nominee is going to raise a great deal less than, say, even John McCain did in 2008, and certainly much, much less than the $1 billion that President Obama is expected to bring in.
And will the places that they go for that money be different this time around?
My guess is because of the economic dislocation, probably candidates on both sides actually are going to rely a lot less on small donors and a lot more on the people who can give big money. Surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, they've been much less affected by the economy than have the small donors.
Now, even as the list of candidates on the Republican side has sort of firmed up in the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are talking about maybe there'll be a late entry into the race several months from now, perhaps a New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, or someone like that. Would they be able to raise enough money that late in the game?
If it's somebody like Chris Christie, the answer is probably yes. That is, one would assume the Republican base would be energized, and part of that energizing element will involve fundraising. If it's someone who's lesser known or doesn't excite the base, then probably not, and that will be a significant differential between Republicans and Democrats.
Larry Sabato, director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally to Bountiful, Utah, where a guy named Josh Farron just bought a house. And when he was inspecting his new garage, he saw something poking out of a small door in the ceiling. Well, he went up to check it out and found metal boxes filled with cash, $45,000 in all. Turns out it had been stashed away over many years by the home's former owner, who died last year. Farron says he'd love to use the money to remodel his new house, but instead, he's giving it to the former owner's children. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Derivatives, collateralized debt obligations, mortgage-backed securities. Yeah, you try spinning those into a movie.
My first reaction was, who's going to want to watch a movie about a bunch of guys in suits and ties sitting around the table?
Yeah, nobody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Too Big to Fail, the film. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.